to the Plant Powered podcast. It's been a little while since I've done a solo episode, but I've got lots of ideas on different topics that need to be covered, and I just think of ideas all the time in day-to-day life when I'm listening to podcasts or seeing stuff online or seeing stuff in day-to-day life, like questions that people may have. So one thing that's been on my mind for a long time, I've been needing to film this for ages, is the diet of the longest living people on the planet. So quite often I get asked about plant-based nutrition, blah, 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 like what's my motivator behind it? Why do I choose that diet? The main reason is because it healed my digestion and bloating issues, and now my gut, like I've got perfect gut health. It used to be debilitating, not end up in hospital, just constant bloating, gas, pain, discomfort, irregular bathroom habits, things like that. So when I made the switch for health and for the animals, and then lastly the planet, I learned all the stuff about the planet like afterwards down the track, but it did cure all my digestion and bloating issues. But I see lots of stuff pop up online, especially now, about like like the carnivore diet. And one of my friends, well, I don't talk to him that often, but this guy I'm friends with online, he's like, yeah, I decided to try the primal diet, and this mince has testes in it, like testicles. So I don't know why people are starting to eat balls from other species now. Like, why? It's so unnecessary. I don't know what they're gonna gain from that. And the point that I can always circle back to with plant-based nutrition is it's what the longest living people on the planet eat. So when I did my studies, I've said this lots of times on here, the course that I chose was plant-based nutrition, but they stated that plant-based means animal products can take up 10% or less of your diet. So whether the person wants to go 100% vegan and cut out all animal products completely, or just a most of the time approach, the concept this is based on is the blue zone. So a lot of people I speak to, I thought everyone always knew what it was, but a lot of people who I ask, no one has ever said they know what it is really. So the blue zones are the places around the world where the people live to 100 years or older with the least amount of degenerative disease. So the least, like the lowest rates of cancer, heart disease, obesity, and diabetes. So I find that such a meaningful motivator. It's not eating for weight loss or anything like that. It's like eating to live longer and prevent and reverse disease. I think about all these people's family members who are suffering with disease and feeling debilitated, and you can actually reverse it with food. That's why I was like, I have to study nutrition so that I can tell people about this, because it's just so much more meaningful than, yeah, like lose weight fast kind of diets that are focused on restriction and things like that. So before we fully get into the episode, I have to say I've released my brand new digestion and bloating meal guide. So it's a 4-week plan. It's my Eat from the Earth meal guide that I give to all my clients and use in all my programs. So that covers over 140 whole foods customizable recipes. There are some meat recipes. You can switch them out for vegan products. You can make things gluten-free, dairy-free. It's got notes on how to customize it on the bottom of each recipe, so that way it can be made to fit your needs and it's not so black and white and rigid, which I really like. But I've taken some of my favorite recipes and put them into a 4-week planner. And I have also made a little PDF ebook with common triggers, what causes people to get digestive issues, and natural remedies that people can do at home to ease the pain, different foods to look out for and avoid, different things that are triggering people. So I've got this little ebook in there as well. So I'm really proud of it. I decided to make it because my sister came to me saying that she's been having digestive issues and bloating now. So I'm so happy that my own sister can put her trust in me. So I actually made it for her, and then I thought, well, obviously other people are gonna benefit off this, and it's the whole reason I went plant-based in the first place. So I'll just turn it into a product and put it on my website so that people can access it at any time. So I'll put all the links for that below. Let me know if you've got any questions, but yeah, I'm so excited to release that out to the world. Also, don't forget to follow me on my social channels as well for more daily nutrition and wellness tips. So check out my Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, you can listen on the podcast, or if you're listening on the podcast, you can watch on YouTube and subscribe to me on there as well. So I'm across quite a few channels, and I'm still kind of new to TikTok, so I'm starting to build that up now as well. I've got a whole blog post on this, so I'm just going to be reading off this so I could memorize everything. But one of the quotes that I once heard was, "There's not enough hours in the day, so why don't you add years to your life instead?" How powerful is that? So the first blue zone is the Okinawas. So that's a tropical island just off Japan, and it has one of the highest ratios of centenarians, which means people that live to be 100 years or older. The islanders, even over 65 years old, still enjoy very active lifestyles. They've got the lowest rates of disease and only half the dementia of those of a similar age group in other countries across the world. Their diet consisted of a lot of soybeans and green vegetables, along with 67% of their diet being sweet potato, which comes to a shock to those who are afraid of carbs. Meat was often scarce, and rice also played a huge part in what they ate. Despite their love for pork, they only consumed it along with fish in small quantities around 2 to 3 times a week. Another way the Okinawans didn't suffer from the saturated fat in the pork was stewing it for days and skimming off the fat. In the end, it was basically just high protein collagen. This is a lot different to the Western diet, where we barbecue meat, giving off harmful carcinogens, or cooking it at high speed in oil, which also changes its chemical structure at high temperatures and degrades the quality, which then becomes a danger to our body. You can see here where we have gone wrong in the Western diet, consuming meat 2 to 3 times a day in large portions. Before 1940, 80% of their diet was made up of whole food starches, and they flourished. The way I like to describe it is they use meat as the flavor and texture of the meal rather than the main course. So this is an interesting point that I always like to come back to when people say, do you have to be vegan, or can you just do it most of the time? A lot of these, like, yeah, some of them are vegan, but some of them just use it as the sprinkling of the dish or just the flavoring. It's like the cherry on top rather than this huge slab of pork taking up the whole plate and eating it so many times a day. Like, they're not using it in that way. It's just a sprinkle here and there. So it's a whole new way of looking at how we build our plates. The next one is the Mediterranean island of Sardinia. The residents here tend to sheep and live simply in the unforgiving terrain. It's not an easy life, but it's a rewarding one, as the longest lived males are those who tread the rugged paths of Sardinia's mountains. It just goes to show that movement is key. These people don't have access to a gym to lift weights, but they have very active lifestyles with functional body movements, helping their mobility, stamina, flexibility, and more. That is another important point, is that not only do these people eat predominantly plant-based, but being just active in day-to-day life is a huge part of it. So they might not necessarily be going to the gym to lift weights. They're just active. They're living on rocky terrain. A lot of them are living on mountains. So they're just outside gardening. They're outside doing things, and they're just staying active in day-to-day life. They loved fava beans, chickpeas, fennel, and zucchini. They ate generous amounts of bread made from barley and durum wheat, as well as pasta. They enjoy goats and sheep's milk, red wine, and their meat and fish consumption is generally less than Mediterranean diets. Number 3, in no particular order, is the Seventh-day Adventist religious group in Loma Linda, California. Those living in this region of the Blue Zones eat a wide variety of beans, lentils, vegetables, and nuts. There are some who eat meat and fish, and some who are vegetarian and vegan, but the common denominator is that they focus on real, unprocessed food. Those who ate meat did so far less frequently than those suffering from disease and obesity in America. Icaria, Greece, hopefully I'm pronouncing these right. A relatively remote island not far from the west coast of Turkey, Icaria has only a little more than 8,000 inhabitants. It also has rugged terrain that contrasts on the warm Mediterranean climate and relaxed lifestyle of its people, who live almost a decade longer than standard Americans. Their traditional diet includes a variety of wild mountain greens found on the island, along with chickpeas and black-eyed peas. As they are surrounded in rough season winds, fishing is more difficult and there is a limited local supply. Icarians enjoy pasta and olive oil, as with the Mediterranean traditions, but they also eat many legumes and potatoes. They eat meat or poultry in small quantities a few times a week and enjoy bountiful amounts of fresh vegetables locally grown in gardens. They drink coffee, tea, wine, and enjoy honey, but eat little refined sugar or flour. The Nicoya Peninsula in Costa Rica. The Nicoyans feast on black beans and locally available green vegetables as part of a diet rich in corn, squash, yams, rice, and tropical fruits. Meat, poultry, fish, and dairy products are all common, but limited in terms of overall calories along with the occasional egg. They still indulge in many of these foods, but not to the extent of westernized countries. The people living here tend to consume a high carb, moderate fat, and moderate protein, plant-based diet rich in legumes. Another point I see coming up all the time as well is like plant-based and veganism is interchanged quite often. So people say, well, is plant-based vegan, which it can be whole foods plant-based if they are vegan, but another way to look at it is plant-based, based around plants. So you can also call it plant-forward or predominantly plant-based, but it's like a diet based around plants. It doesn't have to be so black and white, which is why I love it so much, because people can make it their own. So what are some of the common patterns across the blue zones? Greens and beans. No matter where you go in the blue zones, they're eating a lot of green vegetables and about a cup of beans a day. Another notable feature of the blue zone diet is not what they eat, but what they drink. Most blue zones keep it simple. Water, coffee, tea, and a little bit of wine. They rarely drink fruit juices and completely avoid sodas, sports drinks, energy drinks, sugary cocktails, and other calorie-laden beverages common in the modern world. The Adventists recommend 7 glasses of water a day, and they are the only blue zone population that abstains from alcohol. The Okinawans tend to have a glass of tea near them constantly, often green tea, which has been shown to have all kinds of health benefits. And the Icarians, Sardinians, and Nicoyans all love to drink coffee. The final point that these people all have in common is sense of community. From walking, gardening, eating, cooking, socializing, and living with a strong sense of faith and purpose, they follow the patterns that fit conveniently into their community and culture. Their way of life, from dawn to dusk, just happened to also support healthy, positive, life-enhancing behaviors. They live in tight-knit social networks that constantly reinforce the same and gave them a sense of support and belonging. So that is it. I'm going to wrap things up for today. It's a little bit of a shorter episode, to the point, and the sun is going down and it's just absolutely beautiful outside with so much greenery. So I'm going to go and enjoy the afternoon. So don't forget to subscribe to stay up to date with future episodes. I'm trying to keep up with it weekly. It is a lot of editing and everything involved, but I'm really, really loving doing the regular podcasts and YouTube videos. And don't forget to leave me a review if you're on the Apple Podcast. It really helps me with the algorithm and get suggested to new people so they can benefit from this content as well. And let me know what else you want me to see, any topics you want me to cover, all of that kind of stuff. So check out all the resources in the description below and stay tuned for next week. Thank you for tuning in.